let's get ready to wrinkle!
When we first got cleaned up last night, the kid walks into the kitchen. She's like, wow, Daddy, there's so much more space. And I'm like, yes, that's why we're doing this. You're four. You know, and then she proceeds to dance around in circles because she's got her own personal little dance floor there now.
Now you got to put her to work. So,
well, yeah, tomorrow we're doing some more work and she's going to be the go get this and go get that. But I don't know how that's going to happen because my wife's in her 30s and she still doesn't understand when I say, hand me the, monkey wrench. She doesn't get it.
There's nothing that looks like a monkey in here.
Oh my word. At one point I told her, I said, hand me the pliers. And so she hands me a wire cutter.
You can use
those, right?
And I said, those aren't pliers. Hand me the, you saw me use the pliers earlier. Hand me the pliers. So I hand them back to her. And I'm laying down on my side, half upside down, half inside a cabinet. And so then she hands me a monkey wrench. And I'm like, okay, do I need to cut? You have one job. And I'm like, okay, this is what they look like. And I'm describing it to her while I'm inside of this cabinet. And finally she's like, oh, you mean these ones you used earlier? Yes, those were the exact words I used earlier just now when I said, hand me the ones I was using earlier. So we have a lot of communication barriers like that in our teamwork situation. But my wife has now used a, cordless drill for the first time.
Did you have her drug tested before that?
No, I should have.
Say heavy equipment, man.
I should have. Man. There's been a few times where I'm like, literally, something as simple as hold the tape measure right here and don't move. Those are complex instructions for my wife.
You can't tell Kathy to not move.
I know. That's one
cruel and unusual.
Because, she'll get defocused. She'll start thinking about something else. While if her job is to stand still, she'll start fiddling with something else while she's doing it. And then I'm on the other end going, why is this changing every 5 seconds? And it is challenging, but we are getting it done. And, of course, it's drastic. We've torn everything apart. So it's like, wow, look at all the progress we've made. Yeah, now strap in for the long haul where it's all little tiny details and things like that. So that's going to be fun, but that's why I am sitting here reeking like an old man, because I am covered in so much muscle rub.
Gross.
To try to make things hurt less.
Muscle rub? That sounds like a Valentine's Day.
No, I got to tell you, if you use this cream in any type of intimate situation,
where are we going?
You're
going
to have a bad day. Oh, that sounds like a new segment.
All right.
Yeah, as soon as I got done applying it, I went over to wash my hands immediately. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, washing my hands. She's like, why? I'm like, because if I suddenly have to wipe my eye or, God forbid, go to the bathroom, I don't want to start screaming in agony. And then she starts laughing.
The thought of you screaming in agony is hilarious to me.
Oh, yeah, she loves that idea.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, well, I figured you would like it. But, no screaming in agony, thankfully. I've made it this far. I'm now down here sitting on this stool with my knees just screaming, why can't we be laying down? But no, I'm here at this table. For what with to record this podcast
for
with you
what
boys.
With, yes.
That's right. This podcast, which is Fly Casual.
There you go.
Episode number 26.
Yes. I didn't even have to
already?
Look.
We had all that discussion about it. I didn't have to look.
All right.
Yeah, wow. See what happens when you guys prep
already.
The monkey?
Yes.
You tell the monkey his lines before we record, and the monkey can repeat it back.
You pull up the notes. Everything's right there.
That's right. Hey, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to it, folks. We're here. We're gathered.
What podcast? We may have not recorded it. I don't know. We better double check.
Just press play to fly casual.
At the risk of giving everyone a case of deja vu, welcome to Fly Casual, episode number 26.
Yellow.
We'll get that in post.
Yeah, well, sure.
That's something that happens.
I mean, really.
Sure. I might just sham it all together.
Jam it onto one.
Yeah.
Jam it on the one.
Anybody?
Jump on it.
Anybody get the quote? Jam it on the one. Jam it on the one.
Max Headroom.
Max, I was going to say.
Obviously, it was the episode of The Cosby Show where they got in a car accident with Stevie Wonder, and then they went to visit him in his studio.
Of course.
Poor guy.
And he was using his mixer to mix together all the things they were saying. Come on, guys.
Wait. Stevie Wonder was driving to the studio?
That's why it was an accident.
that
you guys call yourself pop culture aficionados.
please.
I don't think apparently I know.
Jam it on the one. Welcome to the podcast, your favorite Star Wars podcast. Unless you're that listener we all did naughty hand gestures to a few minutes ago, but we don't know if we recorded that or not. I'm sure the naughty hand gestures got picked up.
It did.
That's the way microphones work, right? Mm-hmm. Well, good.
My favorite one.
Yeah, for reals. Yeah. So, hey, I am your master of ceremonies, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. And over here on my left is Mr. Michael J. Archibald.
I am back in the studio.
Today. Live in the flesh.
I know. Yes. After a month of absence.
Yeah, so now we don't have to worry about you cutting out mid-sentence and not realizing until 5 minutes later after we've carried the conversation.
I feel so good. I feel at home.
It oughta. And, of course, across the pond and down a few is Mr. Garrick Not J. Hardy.
Live from Hardy Studios.
Hardy Lou Studios.
Hardy Lou Studios.
There we go. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And then over here, Master Control, Mr. See, I don't want to say I'm the Master of Ceremonies of Steven's at Master Control.
Why not? You guys are both Master.
Second time I've ever called you Steven. That's creepy.
Steven J. You call him Steven J.
I say Steven J. Howie, but I said Steve. That was when I do an introduction and I say the full name. I never go, hey, you know what was going on with Steven the other day?
You don't say that. Yeah.
Which I've never actually called you Steven, like Steven. Yeah. Like I've never addressed you with that.
No, I don't think you ever have.
But in front of you now, twice, I have referred to him as Steven. And both times I stopped and went, ooh, that felt odd.
Yeah. It's usually Howie or Howie. Pretty much Howie.
Yeah, it's how you're like butt face. Yeah.
SJ.
That's what I call him.
Quite often.
I know.
Hey, butt face.
Stephen J. Howie, how
are
you?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful.
Yeah?
Yeah. No space bar hitting this time.
No.
Just looping.
Off the computer. And now that Mike's here in studio, maybe you'll do less like internet research while we're recording.
But maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe he needs there was a to lot do
of
more.
That. Yeah. Nice. There was a lot of that the last couple episodes where I look over and like Howie's like checking his Gmail and then he's on Pornhub and
you guys are boring.
Yeah. Email and Pornhub though.
Surf's porn
boring one of the hosts.
Watching her recording. That's
right. Man. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you've joined us for a news and toys episode.
Yeah.
And it's going to be exciting, as always. So let's not hold it off any longer.
Oh, you guys.
It's time for the what? News.
You guys.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
That's the guy making the new Star Wars movie.
He's the guy what is making the new Star Wars movie. Yeah.
Right on. Oh. He is?
Our friends at iQuiz.com are saying that J.J. Abrams has reportedly approached Disney about moving up the Star Wars release date. Have you guys heard this?
Yeah, he's antsy, right?
He's got antsy in his pants. March 31st.
Yes. We're 60 days away. 30 days away.
That means I can buy my ticket now.
Change all the plans.
Nice. I got to air out my tent.
So he's pushing for 11:30 instead of a midnight release. That's going on. Right. He's like, guys, I get tired.
It's like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
Well, what he's what they're saying is that at an event, the 2015 Visual Effects Society Awards, supposedly he made this passing comment. Now, this is kind of more on the speculative side. I think some of our we've kind of dug in and tried to find some corroboration here, and all I can find is other people reporting from this article.
They heard him say that,
it might be a little more rumor than it is actual news, but I thought I'd bring it up here and just kind of get your thoughts on that. Well, let me back up a second and tell you why. They're saying that they want to move up the date. Basically, what they're saying is
putting on my listening cap.
J.J. Abrams is very distraught by all the leaks and everything that are going on. And we just at our last, I think, newscast, we talked about Disney filing a court proceeding against Image Shack trying to get someone. So basically, you know, what they're saying is that JJ is upset about all the leaks and he doesn't want to wait a whole year to get this out. Therefore, he wants a summer release so that we can just get there and be done with it.
So, okay, you know what? Let's be honest. Let's say the film gets done.
Yep.
How much more leaks are we going to have after the film's done than we have when the film's in process? When the film's in process and everything's being worked on, you've got lots of people getting access to it off and on. When it's done, it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's going to get access, you know, from the distributors and all that. But if the film's done and it's just sitting somewhere, there's a dry spell where there's just going to be more time for speculation and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't know that this would actually be a thing that would help at all.
Yeah. I have to wonder,
unless
too.
Someone stole it. Yeah. Maybe he looked in a DVD case for episode 7. It was gone.
Oh, dang. Like,
no.
Oh, and my copy of the Half-Life 2 beta is missing. Wait a second. Huh.
I mean, you got to look at this, too, for where they're at in the process here of developing this film, because we're already past principal photography and all that. Right now, we're doing some reshoots in L.A., we've heard, and everything else pretty much is going to be done on computers and you know, in the – graphic studios and all that good stuff.
You sound like an old man. It's all going to be done on computers.
Computers and stuff.
They're just going to type in the commands and boom, movie.
But I think you guys know what I'm saying. I mean, I think there's a smaller crew or a smaller cache of people that are actually working on the film now than perhaps there was when, you know, we were in the studio.
I don't know if you have a fewer amount of people in post than you do in production. I really don't know how the numbers play out, but you don't have as many people just coming and going. You have people that are in an office environment that's used to working on secure stuff, at least as best they can, you know, depending on the management of the different groups working on it. But at the same time, it's just kind of like, but once all that's done, it's done. You know, how many places is it going to be circulating to when it's done being worked on and before it actually goes to, quote, print, end quote, you know, which a term that is used loosely these days.
Well, here's the other thing when I read this, and it was very curious to me, because if you guys remember a few months ago, we were hearing that JJ and Disney were bumping heads because he wanted to push it into 2016.
Right.
Because 2015 was just too soon. He wasn't going to be able to develop this movie and get it all done and give it the justice that it needed. Now suddenly he wants to pull it back. You know, forward.
JJ likes to make movies that are like movies they made in the past, but he has to realize that he's doing it in the present. It's the internet age. You don't make big stuff and keep it secret anymore.
Sure.
You know, they used to do that with another thing called war. They used to go to war and you didn't see all of the horrible things that happened. Now you do. It's just part of the modern age.
Right.
Make a good movie, not one that relies on secrets. That's the key.
Well, I think for me,
twist endings aren't going to help anybody.
It just made me wonder, question the validity, I guess, of this report.
Yeah.
You know,
because, who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know.
So, okay, let's say that this is true and he wants it moved up and Disney's seriously considering it and they move it into a May release.
Would it be a May release?
Then what makes sense?
Age of Ultron?
Well, Disney's releasing all kinds of stuff.
We were talking about the release schedule 2 episodes ago.
Right.
And I was talking about the hero movies that we got. We got Age of Ultron.
Yep.
Then we've got Ant-Man.
Yep.
And then we've
got Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four 2 is the one I couldn't, or Fantastic Four 2.
The reboot.
Reboot Fantastic Four is the one I couldn't remember that's later on in the summer. So let's say you're going to do, what's that?
2.0. Fantastic Four 2.0.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just trying to cover you.
Thank you. We're factual now. When it comes to releasing over the summer, I don't think there's anything there you couldn't crap on. I think they could afford to move Ant-Man back if they wanted to.
Right.
I don't think anybody's like, there's not too many people who are that crazy. Like, I got to have Ant-Man. It's like, you know what? You've delayed it like 2-3 years already. another 6 months wouldn't kill.
Right.
But I don't know. I would say it would have to be middle of summer release. I think it'd have to be your hot summer blockbuster.
Yeah. I wonder about this, too, because we talked about some of this months and months ago. And at that time, we were talking about the overall arcing release schedule.
Yeah.
You know, for all the movies through 2020. And I think Garrick was one that brought up that, you know, they have to. I mean, if they're going to try to do this, they've got all kinds of things lined up here with toy releases and comic releases and all kinds of media and everything else. So if they move this up 6 months, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. I mean, they are just,
they're going to lose a lot of money.
Well, yeah, because mm-hmm. they're screwing all that up.
I'm going to tell you where I disagree. Aside of like the comics, the literature and the books and stuff, but I'm going to talk about toys because, you know, that's where the money is.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
I'm going to talk about toys for a second.
That's where my money is.
Let's say they've aligned the toys to be released right alongside the movie in December. That's a little late for the Christmas season to take full effect.
Right.
You bring the movie out in the summer, then kids are clamoring for those toys for 6 months. So you're going into a holiday season where the parents are already adjusted to knowing what the kids want, knowing what they're into, and getting more of it rather than going out and buying the one or two things that are left on the shelf.
I'm going to argue that I believe that Disney will, just like they did with Rebels, they're going to have these toys ready to go before it's released.
Well,
or at least some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them identified in trailers and stuff like
that. Some of them I agree, but I think it'd be better to get the movie out ahead of it so you have the whole hall ready to go in the holiday season.
Which generally is why they've done that in the past. I mean, I think traditionally, at least the prequels were all May releases, right?
They were summer.
I think they were all May.
Well, I know I saw episode one while I was working my summer job, and I would have come home from school in May. But I was already working there. So it was either late May or early June, I want to say. I don't remember specifically. Just beat the crap out of that mic.
You like that?
Yeah, it deserves it.
Well, there's nothing to say. Well, first of all, I don't think they're going to move it.
No, no. Yeah, this
pie in the sky. Right.
You know, I think at most, if they did move it, it'd be more like around Thanksgiving time.
Which I still think would be an improvement. I said before, I'm tired of December releases. There's too many movies that I want to see in December, and I don't have enough time. I said it two episodes ago. I said I don't have time anymore.
Yeah. I think December releases are kind of terrible.
They're kind of getting outdated. You know, it's kind of like December. Like when going to the theater was the best way to see a movie. Yeah, people cleared their schedule to go see movies. It's not like that anymore because, first off, there's a lot more movies to see. And secondly, I think everybody knows, and the industry definitely knows, that watching movies at home is pretty dang great now. With high-def widescreen TVs and 5.1 surround in your house, going and paying, you know, $30 for a ticket, popcorn, and drink is kind of ridiculous. I have movies that I would love to see in the theater, but I just don't anymore.
Yeah, well, I buy the Carmike bucket and just fill that up, and I don't go see movies.
Yeah, I go to the theater with the bucket, pay them a few bucks to fill it up with popcorn because it's a refillable bucket, and then bring it home.
Yeah.
Or I just make theater-quality popcorn at home because I'm just, you know, I'm a whiz in a popcorn maker, I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. The luster of going to the theaters just kind of lasts.
I want to see big action movies and big spectacles in the theater. I really do. To the point where I've whittled down. I'm like, oh, that indie art house film that I really want to see a lot, I can wait a couple months. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way I am now. I'm just like, no. My time is there's too much competition for my time. Well. And Christmas season's crazy. It's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. I probably go to the theater maybe 2 to 3 times a year.
Which sucks because we used to go once a month.
Yeah. I know.
So
age.
December is a terrible time. So if they moved it up, they move it up, but I don't think they will.
Your average moviegoer is younger and older at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got to think about our age group because we're still there's a lot of money to be had.
I was
going to
say, our generation is the one that grew up with it and we're the ones driving the excitement for it. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Us specifically at this podcast.
I mean, you go to the high schools now, they're no more excited for Star Wars than they are for Marvel movies. And who would have ever thought that would be the case back in the day?
Yep.
So, hey, I'm not faulting that either. I like those too. But, you know, it is what it is. So, anyhow, what's next on the docket there, Michael James?
Well, Mark Hamill has come out.
Hey, Luke Skywalker himself.
Luke Skywalker himself.
He's come out, but he's married.
Oh, can you believe it?
Do they have kids? How's that going to affect everybody?
Oh, I know. It's just an awful,
that's not what you're really
mess.
Talking about, is
no,
it?
No, it's okay, not. Good. Hero Complex has come out, and they have an interview that they published with Mr. Hamill. And I wanted to hit on a couple of course, you know, they were, you know, discussing where he's at in his career and different things. And, of course, you know, episode 7 comes up. And
right.
I want to touch on a couple of different things on here.
Touch nicely.
I will. I'll try. The first quote I'm going to want to read and just get your reaction for is this. The question was, the first day you were back on a set playing Luke Skywalker, there must have been, that must have been incredibly surreal. Surreal, excuse me. Oh my God, it's just crazy town. First of all, the security.
Crazy town.
We had problems before with people leaking stuff, but I was saying to them, is this really necessary for me to put on a giant robe with a hood that hangs down to my chest and go, you know, when I'm going from the trailer and the
sound
stage and blah, blah, blah. And he said they looked at him and they basically said, drones.
Yep.
You're kidding me, really? I wish people would just relax. We're not trying to play games here with people. We just want to maximize their experience at the movies where it should be and not have it leaked all over the internet. Believe me, it will be here before you know it. Forget about it. That's my advice.
Forget about it.
But this is where Mark Hamill's just somebody. He's just an old man. He's when you were a kid, he's your grandpa.
Sure.
When you were a kid, your grandpa went, I don't see what all the hubbub's about. And it's like, well,
yeah, but doesn't he have a point here a little bit, though? I mean, I think what he's getting to here.
Of course he has a point, but no, not going to happen. Period. I mean, yes, it's just a movie. But it's still crazy.
Yeah, right. I mean, and his bigger point here is that it's like, don't ruin things for yourselves and don't ruin things for other people. Just let it, it'll be here before you know it and enjoy it.
Yeah. And John Lennon wanted religion to go away and for everybody to just get along. But guess what? That didn't happen. Right. Look how that turned out for him, Mike.
Right.
Look at.
Well, I think maybe he's a little short-sighted here because here's the fact of it. And this kind of touches on what you were saying about high school kids and their excitement for Star Wars versus our excitement and you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, there are that segment of people that are just, like you said, the high school kids that are just kind of casually, oh, there's the trailer. Cool. Oh, I'm going to go see it. You know, and
the kids these days got it. Now I'm the old man. The kids these days have all kinds of great action, fun, goofy adventure.
But they're not huge.
When we were young, they were few and far between. So we had to latch onto these properties and, you know, put them in our pants close to our junk.
But I would say that most of the casual, you know, followers of Star Wars are not the Uber nerds that are steeped in podcasting and blogging and all that stuff like we are. So, and that's kind of the other side of this coin, you know, we're those people, we're the ones that do that. So, you know, it's, it just is what it is kind of to your point. I mean, it's the internet age, like you're saying. And so there's a segment of us that want that and enjoy that and we'll do that. And then, but the mass majority of people, you know, aren't digging that deep. Right. I mean,
yeah, no, because it's so easy to view those blogs. It's so easy to just hit Cinema Blend every day when you get to work. It's easy, or when you get on your phone before you go into your first period class. It is so incredibly easy to just access all that stuff that us crazy people are putting out or, you know, propagating.
Yeah.
So even the people who aren't that hardcore can still just casually absorb it.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's a key, I think. I think that's where maybe he's got a point where, yeah, he's talking to us idiots going, hey, just relax.
Yeah, not too much.
You don't
not
have to make much. It that easy for everybody. I mean, but it's today's day and age. It's what it is. It's
I
don't what know. It be.
I mean, and I think that's why we try to, you know, at least give our spoiler warnings and you know, do
we put them in a
things
whole
the way that we
episode,
do. Yeah, right, in its own cast and everything. I guess try to be responsible about it at least, so. I don't know. Well, here's another quote, too, that I thought was interesting that kind of goes to our discussions the last few casts about George Lucas himself. He says, it's exciting from the standpoint that it's the first of the movies in that universe that's conceived and directed by the fan generation. Speaking of J.J. Abrams, we've never had that before. Now, Larry Kasdan, of course, is one of the old timers like us, but the captain of the ship is J.J. Abrams, and he was a fan of the series, which I find interesting. They're going to have an input into how things are done in a way that was impossible in the more autonomous period of George, he refers to George's reign.
This is Mark Hamill. He's not cutting off the hammer very hard on George.
No.
That's because he still was leaving the door open to come back. I don't want to piss off George, but now it's like, all right, let's just be honest.
Right. I just thought that was an interesting quote by him because I've seen a lot of interviews with Mark Hamill, and he's usually not very heavy-handed on George Lucas.
It's always been Harrison Ford, because Harrison Ford's like, my career is what my career is. Right. There's nobody who can change that, you know. So he's been the one guy who's always been like, that guy, woo, you know. But yeah, now for Mark Hamill to be coming out and going, okay, yeah. It's kind of like, yep.
It was interesting that he was kind of alluding to J.J. Abrams and his collaborative effort versus the autonomous period of George's reign.
Yeah, I mean, the where you just you showed up,
George's. Yeah,
don't question anything, right. Not even your motivation. Don't say, do not whatever you do. Don't ask a question. You will be looked at like you are an alien. Oh wow, that's something coming from Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
that's true. That's something.
Yeah.
So, what else is up on the old news cycle?
Well, Star Wars Celebration Anaheim is coming rapidly approaching. You got your tickets yet?
Oh yeah,
Garrick, you got your plane
They're
ticket
right
lined up, ready to go.
In my wallet. Next
Fly Casual International correspondent Steve Potter offered to come fix my dishwasher line if I got him a ticket to Anaheim.
All right,
I'm trying to figure out how that compares to plumber, licensed plumber scale. I'm not sure. It might be right about an even heat. So
yeah.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have some interesting updates on guests. The latest this week is that J.J. Abrams himself and Kathleen Kennedy are both going to be at Celebration.
They absolutely should be. The movie's coming out this year.
Right.
So it's that time that you go.
It is.
And you know what I don't want them to do?
What's that?
Reveal too much.
Really?
Well, see, now we're talking about Abrams, who's all squirrely about reveals and stuff.
Right.
Where, you know, back in the day with Lucas and company, right, it was kind of a lot of back padding.
Well, see, and that's, and you're right, because we've been to one of those.
Yeah, and we saw a ridiculous amount of stuff.
We did.
Before episode three came out.
We did. They basically played the entire opening sequence.
Yeah. Which is like one of the best scenes in the whole film.
Right. So, yeah, they kind of let the cat out of the bag. But so do you think they'll take a different approach then? Because, of course, this with him showing up and Kennedy and all that stuff, you know, now the questions are, and it's a year of a movie, you know, what are they going to show? What are
as
they going to show
As long
us?
As the panel's hosted by Chris Hardwick. That's really all that matters. Right. To legitimize your that's the only way people know you're taking it seriously. You got to have Chris Hardwick, hopefully in some type of unrelated cosplay. hosting your panel. I'm dressed up as the kid from Animal Crossing, you know, something like, I don't know. Earthbound.
Well, I think the rumor, or at least the hope of the fans that have been kind of talking about this, is that they're going to be showing a full length trailer.
Oh yeah.
At this. What do you think the odds are?
So when is what is what's the date on Celebration Anaheim?
April 16th to 19th. Right, first week of April.
So they're going to show the trailer there. Do you think it'll hit the internet?
They would almost have to, right?
Well, One way or another, it will.
No, it's been done where they've shown trailers at Comic-Con and really gone and actually stamped out anywhere that they showed up, even off screen. The perfect example was the preview footage of Batman v Superman, or whatever they're calling that these days, where you had, you know,
Dawn of Justice.
You had the bat signal and Superman flies down and his eyes light up red. They showed that at Comic-Con, and the people who were taking it with cell phone vids were blogging it, and that stuff was disappearing as soon as it was going up. I mean, they had a team on that. So it is theoretically possible that they could try to suppress it until Age of Ultron
comes out. Superman v.
Which is only a month later.
Batman v. Superman is one thing, but we're talking Star Wars.
Well, yeah, but don't blow your wad. I mean,
there could be drones. You never know.
I gotta admit, when they start talking about this, I was like, oh, they have to. I mean, it has to be released on YouTube if they do a trailer then.
I don't think it has to. It will be, and it could be taken down very quickly. I mean, they could have, this is Star Wars. They could have YouTube ready to go saying, hey, that we're doing this,
right?
Just be aware that we're going to be taking down. So have a team set aside to help us out with that. And
well,
they will.
I wonder then if they do something specific and special for Celebration. Because by all accounts, they're going to be releasing a trailer with the Ultron video, or with the Ultron release.
It would be
release
beyond insane to not have it on there.
So, I mean, that's pretty much the wide speculation that's going to happen. So, you know, if they show something at Celebration, is it the trailer that they release with, you know, Ultron, or is it a piece?
I think it'll be the same trailer. It'll drum up a lot of excitement. But here's the thing: even if they do put it out on YouTube and stuff like that around the same time, or whatever website they decide to go with, QuickTime, Apple, I still think that they know now that there are enough people that will still want to see it on the big screen, and people are going to want to go see Age of Ultron anyway. It's not like that movie's hurting for an audience,
right?
You know, so I don't think it matters either way. It could go one way, could go the other.
Can tell you that I'm hopeful that, personally, I hope it's two different pieces. I'd love to see two different trailers or something.
It seems like a lot of effort to cut two trailers just for Celebration.
Well, I don't know.
Could be.
Anyway, some of the special guests are going to be popping up with JJ and Kathleen Kennedy. Steve Blum of Star Wars Rebels, Anthony Daniels, Dave Filoni. Let's see. Carrie Fisher is on now.
When's the last time she was at a Celebration?
She's actually a regular at a lot of these.
Really?
So, yeah.
She's going to be at Indiana Comic Con this year. More regular than
some of the other ones. Yeah. Taylor Gray.
Harrison Ford's been at every one of them, right? Jokes.
Not so much. let's see. Well, actually, Hamill, he used to attend a lot of those too in the past. Not so much lately, but.
No, I think we haven't really talked about it much. I think we've made a couple anecdotal, you know, comments, but up until the sale to Disney, Mark Hamill it seemed like was trying to distance himself from Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I've even heard rumors that like his wife, who is like kind of like his PR manager, would be like, don't talk Star Wars. You have an epic career.
Right.
That isn't Star Wars, but because your face isn't in front of it, because he's a voice actor,
right?
Because your face is not there, people don't realize it's you. So don't talk Star Wars. Talk about what you're working on, which is good advice.
Sure,
I think some people were kind of like, yeah, but it's Star Wars. Shut up. But you know, she's right. I mean, if that in fact was true, there's a good reason for that. But now, that's been turned on its head because like, okay, the chains are off. Do what you do. You know, do what you want to do. But yeah, he was hard to find because I think in recent years it was more like that. Even in a couple of the movies that featured a lot of the, in fact, didn't he make a movie about, Mark Hamill made a movie about conventions and stuff like that. It had a lot of the Star Wars guys in it.
Yep.
And I remember thinking that's weird because that's not a circuit that I think that he's that commonly found in.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a different game now.
Yeah.
Right. It's a whole different animal because now this is a big portion of his career again. Right. So, hey.
So anyway, a lot of cool guests. It looks like I think most, if not all, of the cast and crew from Rebels is going to be there.
Rebels and all kinds of stuff.
So
Rebels,
kind of cool. So okay, now have you guys heard about Dish's Sling TV? Do you guys know what this is?
I have it.
Do you?
Yes.
Whoa. What do you think about?
Wait,
Sling
you don't have
TV?
Dish.
Maybe you can tell.
You don't have to have Sling Dish.
Really?
Yeah, what? It is its own thing. You pay the starting price is $20 a month.
Okay.
And you get a select select channels. They don't have a wide variety.
You pick TV. What you want?
No. Well, kind of. So your base $20 a month gets you like TBS, TNT.
USA.
Really?
ESPN.
Not Sci-Fi. Not AMC.
No, of course not AMC. AMC is almost a premium channel these days.
It's very limited. DIY, maybe. No, actually, they have a couple tiers.
So we don't even get DIY on our DirecTV.
You pay $5, you get all the Disney. So Disney XD, Disney.
So they're
Junior.
Trying to make it a little more a la carte.
Yeah, and then you can pay another $5 for like Maker or no DIY. There's a few. There's like
rather than having $20 blocks, they're breaking it down into smaller blocks, but maybe charging a little more for them because they're a la carte.
Yeah. My understanding is that this is a model for the future of
the world
broadband
of tomorrow. Yeah. If I can say that in every episode,
no contracts. It's a month to month.
Right.
Nice.
And it's internet.
It's internet. And you stream it, but there's no DVR functionality. There's no going back and watching something that's already aired. It is what it is. You get what you get.
Here's what's happening. So
software turn
so
it
far.
Into
this
DVR
is brand new.
Yeah.
You have to sign up to get invited.
Yeah.
So I signed up. Probably about a week or two went by, and I got an invitation.
Sling TV. I mean, does Dish Network own now, or are they in cahoots with Slingbox?
I thought that maybe there's a connection there, but I don't think there is.
Because that's really, really seems to be close to infringing on copyright.
The way I'm watching it is I have a Roku
trademark
called Sling TV.
Yeah.
And I can watch it through the Roku.
Interesting. So tell me when they get AMC on there. Just let me know because I will drop DirecTV in a heartbeat.
The jury's still out. We've had it for a week.
I shouldn't say DirecTV's treated us.
I haven't watched any of it. Uh-huh. Because I don't live the lifestyle where I can just say, ooh, this is on right now. Let's go watch it.
Right. Yeah. So my wife's mad at me because Sunday night's the one night where we do that. And we're recording on a Sunday this week.
Right.
And all three or four of our five shows per week are on tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So if it was just me, I pretty much would say, no, I'm not going to get it. Not yet.
Right.
Drop it after this month. But you know, my wife and maybe my kids, who knows? But I'm also, they're like watching Disney now all the time. And I'm like, I don't like this. I like the way it was.
Welcome to my life, sir.
I like the way it was where you're not, like today we got home from eating lunch with my parents and my 10-year-old ran right to the TV and turned it on to Sling TV and was watching Disney. I'm like, I don't like this.
The Sophia the First song is going to be pounding through your head when you wake up every morning.
You're describing my life.
The thing that gets me is we don't watch commercials and now here's commercials.
Yes. Isn't that a painful transition to go back to?
Well, I'm not watching them, but the thing I'm more fearful of is my children watching them and like, I want this.
Yeah. Yep. The nice thing is we watch, I mean, my kid watches Disney Junior, which they don't have that many commercials except around the holidays. But like every now and then Disney Junior's playing a movie that she's not interested in or whatever. We flip it over to a different kids channel that has all the toy commercials, and her eyes are like tennis balls. She's like, whoa, TV's showing me cool stuff. And I'm like, no, TV's showing you horrible things.
TV bad.
Yeah. She's like, I want a, you know, Monster High Castle. I want a, or her big thing right now, this is actually related, but unrelated. We were Toys R Us, and my wife lets her wander into the Power Wheel aisles. I don't.
Oh, jeez.
But I was not there.
Oh, jeez.
And yeah. So now every day, Daddy, when can I get my Duck Dynasty Jeep?
Duck Dynasty.
It's not
Jeep.
Duck Dynasty. It just has camo on it. So she's identified it as a Duck Dynasty Jeep.
That's funny.
And she every single day now, why can't I have a Duck Dynasty Jeep? Daddy ain't bleeding money. That's why.
They need to build Power Wheels for adults because those things are awesome.
It's you've got two of them in your garage right now.
Well, in regard to Dish's Sling TV, Bob Iger has come out recently in a analyst call, and basically he's saying that Disney has starting to look at ways of using services like Sling TV that offer the unbundled content. Basically, what they're saying is that Disney's planning around this possibility, or they're planning around this possibility, includes things like Marvel and Star Wars specific offerings, which could mean a lot of good things for people that enjoy those properties. So, I mean, what does that tell you? Are they developing a channel, a Star Wars channel and a Marvel channel?
I think you could have a Star Wars channel. I think in the internet age now.
Yeah. I think you could have a Disney channel that's based on Star Wars and Marvel and all that stuff.
Is
there enough content out there to have a 24-hour cycle?
I'm saying you could have a Star Wars channel, and you could have a lot of reruns, but you can charge a price for that channel. Okay, here's $3 for the Star Wars. Here's $3 for the Marvel.
What I'm saying is make a channel out of Star Wars and Marvel.
Well, I think you could.
And other Disney properties. But think about how they're going to bleed that.
You know, they're going to try to get as much money as they can. Right. Try to see this.
I mean, you
got to
figure that. Okay. If they do.
And I'm just saying, I want to see some more superhero squad.
You
want to
see, okay. You get the bundle for $10. You get Marvel and Star Wars. And
so that makes sense. Cause I mean, well, Marvel could have its own channel and be fine. I think there's enough content out there. I'd be a little bit concerned about because I don't know that there's
Clone Wars. With, 700
Okay. So you do Clone Wars and you do Rebels and, you know, you do the Ewok movies and what else do you got?
There's not a lot else. That's why I'm saying. I think you'd have to combine those to run a 24-hour day stream, even with a lot of reruns. I think to be practical about it, I'm going to just abuse that word and let it make my argument for me. I think you're combining those two properties and, again, other Disney properties that could be justifiably, you know, oh, hey, this evening on the Disney boy branded channel, we're going to play Alexander and the Horrible No Good Very Bad Day or something like that, you know. That kind of stuff. Like, as long as they've got a lot of stuff that doesn't really find a good home in the other Disney channels that they could totally pack into that type of package.
Sure. Right.
So they could do original programming where they have, the dude who played Wedge just reading Timothy Zahn novels.
There we go.
Yeah. It'd be a perfect show for me.
Why not?
Dennis Lawson.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, Dennis Lawson. I think overall, I'm not super happy with Sling TV. But I am happy in the direction it's going.
Well, I was
going
to say, I think, I mean, the product might not be there yet, but
it's 15 years too late, but
I would agree. But
to do it over the internet, it's right on time.
Yeah.
But a la carte cable is 15 years too late.
Absolutely.
Well, so. I think what Disney is saying is that they see the value in this and they see this as the future of television. I don't want to give the conception that this is imminent and that it's going to happen sooner rather than later. I think they're seeing this as a long-term thing, but interesting that they're talking about this and a property as big as Disney, you know, signing on to this, I think is, in my opinion, is good because this is the kind of...
That's how you're going to solidify that something
Netflix,
like this.
Netflix, Amazon, I'm just Prime, tired. Yeah. Every, you know, all these services that are doing this, Hulu Plus, which is horrible. all of these services are
preferable to me than
people are
cable television.
Gladly yeah. abandoning the stuff they had before and spending almost the same amount in total if you get all these services.
Right. And they you get don't what they want. They
you don't get as much
want.
Programming, but you get what you want
right.
when you want it uninterrupted, that's, except with Hulu Plus.
That's always been my whole thing. Do I need 300 channels, you know, of which I watch maybe 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's everybody's
ultimately,
whole thing.
I feel like I'm putting money where I want it to go.
Right.
You know? Even if like the actual amount you're getting is not like, you know, let's say if you put more money into DirecTV subscription, you might get more out of it, but it's kind of like, no, I'm funneling it exactly where I want it
like
to go.
I'm okay with that. On Amazon Prime, we buy Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So we can watch it the day after it comes out.
Yep. Right.
And I know the money is, well, quote unquote, going to Walking Dead, but you know, I know obviously Amazon's taking their cut, but that's, I feel like, okay, at least that money's going where I want it to go.
Right.
And that's the way I prefer, you know, to see it happen.
I'm with you, man. Right. 100%.
I think we
did that for Walking Dead, but not Rebels. What's the matter with you, Howie?
Haven't decided if I'm going to do that yet.
Yeah. Howie's still working out how much.
Howie, have you seen even one episode of Rebels yet?
Oh, yeah, I've seen like the first five or six.
Whoa.
There you go.
Speaking of bite-sized TV, it's time for the Pork and Spite of the Week. Hey!
Oh. Again?
You just had to do that, didn't you?
I did.
Hey, Porkins. Y'all, did you know that the dude who played Porkins once performed a complete reading of Herman Melville's classic novel, Moby Dick? For Naxos Records audiobooks in 24 hours and 50 minutes. That's endurance, son.
That is.
That's a lot of endurance for a man of his girth.
His you say fat people can't read?
I didn't say that at all.
You say fat people are illiterate? I'll come across this bar at you slowly and in a wheezing huff.
That sounds like what he was saying.
That's what I heard.
He said they can't read for a long period of time.
Moby Dick in 24 hours.
Wow.
That's a
How does that happen? Break? What is that, like 5,000 pages?
24 hour Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Do you actually hear him eating while he's reciting it?
Oh, you guys. No,
did he have a coconut?
There she blows.
It just took him that long to read it.
Garrett's playing with my emotions. Speaking of playing, it's time for the Toy Report.
Yay!
How about that?
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, you guys mentioned some toys coming out for episode 7. How they're supposed to come out around the movies. You know, some people think Hasbro's doesn't exactly have clockwork timing, right?
Well, you know,
we've had those discussions.
Sometimes it's hard to get all those people to sign away their lives and move into the factory where they're chained to their machines somewhere in Southeast Asia.
Maybe China is where you're looking for. Yeah, you've gone to your local store, and a lot of people have, and just seen there's no Star Wars Rebel figures to be seen whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, it's not necessarily Hasbro's fault, according to an article on the internet, makingtheforce.net. Is that right? But it seems like in the LA shipping yard, there's a huge backup of containers with containing all sorts of, you know, sundries from China.
Really? Are they having union issues?
I'm not exactly sure. The article doesn't go too far in depth, but I guess it's just a big management problem of getting these crates from.
So we're not the only ones. We're not the only ones realizing that there's a distribution problem.
Exactly. No, the internet is just huge. With like, you go onto Amazon and these figures are going for $30-$40.
Wow.
You know, for like a chopper. Or
sounds like that's not a great investment right now.
No, probably not. They said this article is written about a week ago. And it says there's 20 ships just sitting out at anchor waiting to unload their cargo.
Oh, my gosh.
So basically, it's this big, huge cluster of nonsense going on in the LA area.
So you're saying it isn't necessarily a bunch of old dudes sitting on the board at Hasbro? They're like,
well,
screw the
kids. They make the decisions of who to make. I mean, there's obviously a very small amount of female figures that have come out. So that is their fault. But the fact that we haven't seen any on the shelf, technically, I guess, is not their fault. So I guess just
I'll believe it when I see it. We won't see them 6 months from now. Those ships will be gone. They'll be like, oh, it's Somali pirates paddled over here and took everything.
Oh no! And then
Christmas is going to be great over there.
The dock workers are selling these on Amazon for 5 times the price. I can see that going on.
Seriously. Seriously.
Yeah, so keep posted, I guess, and see if they get that worked out.
But yeah.
Going on, that just happened this weekend that we were recording on.
Ooh.
New York Toy Fair was going on. It's a toy. Wow. It's an industry toy fair where mostly sellers and buyers. It's not really a convention. It's more like a people different toy distribution.
It's what a convention used to be.
Right, exactly.
When people in the industry got together and figure out what they were going to buy and sell.
It's usually they're bringing out their new stuff, showing what's coming on and coming out in the coming year, and you know, just basically giving financial reports. And all
were
that
there
kind
Star
of
Wars
stuff.
Toys in that?
There were Star Wars toys.
Maybe before you, before Star you, Wars before toys. You go on, I have to ask: were there any Hans and Lukes in Stormtroopers?
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
The thing is, he's not joking,
I think,
gentlemen.
No, I think Jack Specific had a couple, and then Hasbro had the Black Series out.
Yep.
For the first time that we could actually see what they look like. And they had their helmets do come off, so that's good.
Yeah, they actually have helmets that fit over their heads.
Oh, so, okay.
They, step up, I guess.
Like before they
so
just
it, before
promotional
we had to believe movies. That it was Luke underneath the helmet. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, they just didn't have helmets.
If you got the balls enough to take them out of the package to begin with, then I guess you could display them with your other stormtroopers, and no one would ever know. So it is a little shorter.
I know the heads look a little bigger though. The helmets I think are a little larger as a result.
Yeah, with the Darth Vader Black Series helmet, you can definitely tell. It comes off because you can actually like see it. It looks really weird. You have to look at it. But anyway, I know we've had some promotional image of the Black Series Leia in the Bosch,
Bounty Hunter Bosch.
Well, they and the Emperor. Well, they and IG-88 as well. But they now have them out on display and they look pretty sweet. Like that's the Leia cool. figure, she comes with the helmet and also a thermal detonator and the little stick she carries. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But I mean, it looks pretty sweet. The Emperor's got the full cloth robes and a walking stick. And IG-88 is probably one of the best IG-88s I've ever seen.
These are Black Series, you're saying?
These are the Black Series 6-inch.
Cool. The IG-88s historically always just look like fragile little sticks that are hitched together. Kind of a design, but like to find one that actually looks kind of intimidating would be cool.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you get the full 6-inch of IG-88 goodness. So.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
So he's 6-inch scale. Does that mean he's like 7.5 inches tall?
Yeah, he did look taller than the rest of them, but I didn't. I've just seen pictures. I didn't see them in real life. And that looked cool. They didn't really come out with any new announcements on the Black Series line because I think they're working hard on the Episode 7, so they're really keeping stuff close to their chest on this one.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Hasbro also had a display with something called Star Wars Blade Builders.
What?
Which I don't know if you've seen
that
this
That sounds
on the
like, before I hear anything about this, it sounds dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. You guys, I mean, it's pretty much like a fly casual stance that we like lightsabers, right?
Yeah. Overall. I have seen these.
Overall, most of us.
Yeah, yes, I need a light menorah.
Yeah, you need a light. Sai.
Yeah,
you'd be like Jedi Raphael or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe you don't like your chest and you want it when you swing your lightsaber, you
impale yourself
your chest or something.
Yeah, it looks. Like the cross guard saber. This one. All right, you know what? Gloves are off, and most of your arms and other limbs.
Basically, you just hook different handles onto other handles and blades popping out of everywhere. And you have three blades popping out of one thing and a blade out of the back. I mean, you just you can just build on and on with these things. And it makes some like millions and millions of combinations going on.
Right.
With these. It's fully lit. It makes noise. But, man, I don't know.
Some of them look pretty dumb. Not they just do. Like dangerous and impractical. They look kind of dumb.
If you have a chance, go out and search on the internet. I mean, some of the designs that people came up with are just ridiculous.
It's kind
of
like, you know what? Maybe we should only promote the ones good people put together.
It's all in good fun, I guess. It combines, I guess, Legos with lightsabers somewhat. But ugh.
That doesn't mean that if you put me in front of a box of parts, I wouldn't try to make the wickedest thing ever and be proud as hell of it.
Oh yeah.
But the stuff that's out there, I'm not kidding. I'm seeing menorah sabers more or less.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have the thing that looks like brass knuckles with the three outputs coming out that you can just hook blades into. So you just, I guess, punch someone with your lightsaber blades.
Well, yeah, that's how that closest works. You're going to get to Wolverining somebody with a lightsaber.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks exactly like that.
Yeah.
So Wolverine with lightsaber claws. I think Marvel needs to do that.
There you go.
So also at this Hasbro booth, they had something that nightmares are made of. You guys like having nightmares?
Oh, I love it. My second favorite thing.
I like waking up from nightmares. Sweet.
Have you ever had a Furby? And you're laying in bed and you hear something whispering to you in some crazy nonsense language.
This is not a hypothetical situation that Garrick is describing. Garrick is describing the horrible demon spawn that I brought into our dorm room in college.
I asked my parents for a Mogwai Furby, not because I thought Furbies were cool, because I think Mogwais are cool. And they got me a Christmas Furby, you know, the Furby that only makes sense one day a year. And so I was in college, so I'm like, I'll ironically display my dumb Christmas Furby. I didn't think to take the batteries out first. And Garrick and I, in this little pillbox that we lived in, like in the middle of the night, and you look at me like, what the heck just happened? And then you swear the eyes are glowing red in the darkness. But then the batteries start to go dead after a while.
Oh, yeah. That's when it gets real, man.
And then, like, you're just sitting there late in the evening, getting ready to turn in, not really talking. You've been working, studying, I don't know, playing Half-Life. And then suddenly you hear... That's and you're, like, that's looking around awful. Going, what the hell was that? This is all stuff that really happened. It was the most terrifying. Did we end up like destroying that thing? Like taking a bat to it?
Well, it sounds like something we would do. Probably. Or we burnt it. One of the two.
Or both.
Yeah, probably both.
Yeah, probably both.
You know, Furby, they were really big back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And they kind of went away for a while. Now they're back.
From outer space.
From outer space. And they just walked LED in to find us
here with this fear on our face.
Can really see through your soul with their LED eyes.
Like screen. They have LCD screens for eyes.
LCD
backlit LCD screens for eyes, so they really can have the demon eyes now.
The people at Hasbro were like, you know what? That's not scary enough. Let's mix it with a Wookiee.
Oh.
So it just speaks in Wookiees and have that be a Furby, and we'll call it Furbaka because it's the combination of the two words.
I feel like Chubby is a missed opportunity. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So they have the Furbaka, which is a
terrifying demon
looking like that looks like a Wookiee.
Mm-hmm. And ish, you pat it on kinda, the head. It looks like a Furby with Wookiee hair. More like
the eyes do crazy things. Like you'll see lightsaber battles or
in its eyes,
TIE fighters flying towards you.
In its eyes.
It's just, and then it'll blink and the regular eyes will come back,
Mike,
and stare.
Let me steal your sleep from you forever. There you go, buddy.
Yeah, so the,
I just threw it up on the screen. It's about six times larger than real life.
So if you can find pics on the internet about that, check it out. And play the video. Play the video. Absolutely. Well,
it's an animated GIF.
It's going.
It's an animated GIF. It's just repeating forever until our souls leak out of our buttholes. It's the most terrifying thing on the face of the earth. It's a little beak moving, its eyes flashing, the Star Destroyers moving, and its ears wiggle, and it rocks back and forth like it's got some type of mental disorder that needs medicated.
If you want to terrorize children, put it in their
room.
You
know you're going to get one for Christmas, Corey.
But here's what I'm trying to figure out. No, because no one will buy me Star Wars toys for Christmas, except every now and then I guess I get a Mr. Potato Head that's Star Wars themed. His bandolier looks like it's full of thermal detonators. What's up with that?
That's frightening.
Oh, my God. Does it actually move itself around in circles, or is that just the person who made this GIF has no soul?
I wouldn't surprise me. I didn't see it moving in circles, but it's terrifying.
It looks in no way like a Wookiee at all.
Had its own locomotion to come and get you in the middle of the night. So yeah, at this New York Toy Fair, Lego was also there, and they've made a couple.
Hold on, I have to change the screen. We're all staring at it. Yeah. Like our souls are like coming out of our eyes. Like there's like the screen is a Dementor just pulling it.
You may want to take it off the computer.
Yeah, I'm just going to close that window. Close that. Okay, we're safe. We're safe.
Okay. Legos.
Yes. I like those.
I love Legos. Yeah. I have lots of Legos lying around. Well, they were also there and previewed a couple things that are coming out here in the next year. They have, I think the biggest thing, literally, because it was big, is the TIE Ultimate Collector's TIE Fighter set.
Yeah?
Yes. It is sweet.
Really?
The set will come with 1,685 pieces.
Ooh.
As well as the pilot, of course, and the base with that it can sit on that has specs of the TIE Fighter.
Oh, yes, I saw pictures
of this.
Includes
like manufacturer and of the TIE Fighter and top speed this, and all that good
it
stuff.
It comes with a minifig, right?
Yes.
But the level of detail is nicer than what you get in the standard minifig style Legos. It's almost like the master level pieces. Legos, but it fits a minifig.
Yeah, it's basically the Master Collection. They just renamed it the Ultimate Collector's Edition.
Well, it's because the Master Collections didn't do the minifig things, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of bridging the gap, but oh man, it looks so tight. Yeah,
it stands 18 inches high or 18 and a half inches high, 12 inches long. Look at that, Mike.
Look at that.
And
that
12
tall.
Inches
no,
wide.
Look, that so tall. It's a, that tall yep. for scale, Mike.
That's a foot.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks pretty sweet. It's going to be hitting in May, but I think it's only at Lego stores or online.
That's okay. I won't want to spend money on it, even though I'll desperately want to own it.
Well, it's only going to be $199.99.
Holy nuts. That's half a Boba Fett bust.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh,
they also previewed a couple other things. They're re-releasing the Shuttle Tiderium, Lambda class shuttle, which looked pretty sweet. Looks like they did put more time and effort
into it. It's still one of my favorite ships of anything ever.
It is. Mine too. Absolutely. That's
I think
cool.
I'm going to be tempted, you know, to buy this one, but I'm not exactly sure what the price point on that one's going to be. It also has, they previewed the Imperial Assault Carrier from Star Wars Rebels.
Right.
You remember the when they went to the carrier that pooped out TIE fighters out of the bottom?
Oh, it's I like that one.
Yeah.
That was actually, of the new ships we've seen, that's kind of my favorite one, I think, because it fills a class that we hadn't, like basically light carrier that really, even in most of the EU, we hadn't really seen a lot of stuff of that class. Everything's either bigger and independent, you know, and does not have any like ships that can berth in it, or much, much, much larger. So I kind of like the closest thing we've seen is actually Amidala's ship in episode 2 that has the fighters that disconnect from it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, right.
That's I think the closest analog we've seen. I really like the style of that thing.
Yeah. This one's cool because it comes with little tiny TIE fighter turds that it does poop out.
Nice. TIE fighter turds are the best turds.
Yeah. They're basically like the, you know, those little figure packs you get for like $1.99 or something at the checkout.
Yeah.
They're basically that, but they hook onto the bottom. They're pretty cool.
That's great.
And I think the best part is it comes with a Sabine minifig.
What? Nice.
Yes. For some reason, comes with Sabine, which is super cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Good. You're making up the Lego's lost time, man.
Lego's still trying to play up the, strong female characters. We get it.
Well, they had another set that had Sabine in it, and I can't remember which one it was. I just remember seeing it. But
$1.99, by the way. Those are like $6.99. Just FYI, there's no $1.99. Yeah, like, you can't get a keychain for $1.99 from Lego.
You can get you can't, can you? You can't get anything.
If you go to the Lego store, you can buy an individual brick for about that cost.
One brick.
Yeah, out of the bins of colored bricks.
Yeah. And the last thing on there that they were, there's a Naboo Starfighter they're re-releasing, but yeah, whatever. I guess that's kind of cool. But the big thing they were releasing is a new build. It's called Hero Builders, I believe.
Okay, I've heard of this.
They have a Vader and a Luke, where basically you just build Vader and Luke. And it's basically like those, what was the one with the robots, the line with the robots on Lego? You remember those?
Oh.
You built the robots.
Yeah, kind of. I'm all I can think of right now is Ninjago, and that's not it.
Yeah, they're basically that. I mean, they don't look
exceptionally
awesome.
Yeah, they came in like plastic cans.
Yeah,
those robot things.
Exactly. It's pretty much what they look like. I don't think they come in the can, so I think they actually come in.
That's cool.
In the cardboard, but yeah, they look all right. It's something new, I guess, for the kids to do, but I don't know. Just keep a look at that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff there. If you have time, go on the internet, look at the other stuff that are there. But that's all.
Or go to betterkind.com and find the show and click on the link.
Show notes.
It's one of those things on the internet.
Yeah. I'm just happy I was able to pick up a Sabine action figure.
Oh, brag. Just go ahead and get it out there, Howie.
I hate you, Howie.
I just had to.
Howie found a Sabine with the stormtrooper.
Texting us all week, yeah.
Yep.
Lucky you.
It's funny because Garrick's starting to get a little mad because I think that we have a reveal coming up where secretly this whole time
Howie has been Collector X.
No! I was thinking that this week.
I confirm
something. Howie keeps sending pictures where he's finding the stuff that Garrick can't find. Right. You know that Garrick's looking for it a lot harder.
I'm like, where are you?
Wait a minute. When did Howie become a collector like this? This is weird.
Yeah, it's Garrick's fault.
Yeah.
And Kroger. It's Kroger's fault, too.
Yeah, Kroger has been carrying a solid supply.
Because they had a buy two, get one free at one time. And I did. And
since then,
you just go back
and look. Yep. Yeah,
you get it in your blood. It gets in your blood.
So you have a rotation of Kroger, Toys R Us, and Walgreens.
Yeah, that's when.
Oh,
that's,
man.
See all those Target, all those titaniums, Target, yeah. all those diecast ships over there. You know, those started off when I started buying those. They were $4.25.
When I stopped, they were $7.88. That's how they got me. They started them out really cheap.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I just got to keep looking everywhere I go.
Yeah. Oh,
what else is in toys?
That's it.
That's it for toys?
Nope. That's all the toys there are in the world.
There's nothing else to play with.
Nope.
The pink aisle has been eradicated.
I do have to say, though, the Sabine toy, you know, there's like hardly any points of articulation.
Yeah. Right. It's a straight up thing.
I didn't buy it for, you know, collecting. I bought that for the kids to play with.
Ah, so it's out of the box.
It hurts Garrick even more.
Yeah. Come on. When they come out with a 6-inch Black Series Sabine.
Yeah,
that's when I'll be really happy.
Yeah, that's the next thing. I got to get these too because my daughter is so proud of her little plush Ezra and what was my Chopper, but now she sleeps with and reminds me that she has it all the time. Look, Daddy, I've got Chopper. Yeah, I get it. But like, I want to get these two. You know, I want to get the female characters, encourage her to play with them and the male characters.
That was my main reason for getting those and take them out of the box because I want them to play.
Well, the thing about Sabine is her helmet doesn't even come off. So
nope.
It could
and it
be
goes
either
all
a girl
the way
or
around.
A really skinny
kid. Oh, really? The helmet doesn't come off on that?
No, it doesn't
come
off.
They all did 360.
Nope. It's just kind of wicked.
Yeah, that's not very nice.
Devil Mandalorian. No, you're right. I'm waiting for the 6-inch.
It's not worth collecting. It's there's nothing exciting.
Why, now,
about
wait
it.
A minute. Why is that so funny? We've got Starkiller in Black Series, right? Why can't we have Sabine?
I'm telling you what.
Do you really want to pry the lid back off this again?
We got like R5.
Sorry, he just keeps laughing every time the mention of Black Series Sabine happens.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that would sell like hotcakes.
Yeah. Well, if she's in a movie the rumor has it.
Rumor
You're
has
never going to find a removable helmet, though, because her hair won't fit under. Her hair does not fit in that helmet.
Funny thing is, there actually is a little bit of hair at the bottom.
Did
of the
they really
of the
do hel- that? Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Good for them.
I was kind of surprised.
That's funny.
Well, gentlemen, before we tie this one off, I may have made a promise to include somebody in this podcast.
Oh, geez.
I didn't want to say anything, but there's someone who wanted to come in and say a few words, and I'll give up my microphone once again.
Did he take a shower?
I can either. Well, if he did, it's already been an hour at least. So, God willing, you know, right. I'm going to give up my microphone and Papaw Jen, everybody.
Papaw. Where's
put your cup on, Howie.
Come on.
Yeah, protect the Ghiblies.
Why'd you take so dang long in here?
The Jimmy Jans.
Hi, Papaw. How you doing?
I gotta get these ridiculous things on my head here. How are you turkeys doing, huh?
Hey.
Good.
All right.
Hey, it's good to see you, I guess.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not long enough.
Oh. Ouch.
I just wanted to come down here and say a few words, so let's do ourselves a favor, and not pretend we're all familiar and getting along famously.
Oh.
But
I think I know who gave us that one-star review.
Papaw can neither confirm nor deny. So anyhow, let's get down to brass tacks. Gentlemen, everybody seems to
have their boy shorts in a bind over this whole thing about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Now being able to, they've been through the negotiations and he can now be a part of Star Wars. Seems like the good folks, calm down. Sweet. Seems like the good folks at Sony have finally decided to nut up and let the old web hub use that Spidey sense for the galactic greater good.
Oh, okay. All right.
And why not, for crying out loud? Everybody knows that General Grievous was really just an insectile Darth Doc Ock. Emperor Palpatine? He's just Electro wearing a Green Goblin's tunic.
Well,
and no one disputes that. No one disputes that Darth point. Maul. Darth Maul's just a hornier version of Carnage.
Wait.
Hornier.
Wait.
Hornier as in has horns.
Horns. Guys. Yes.
Leave it up to you, knuckleheads. Anyway, the only issue I take with this is that they want to reboot the Spider-Man franchise again.
Yet again.
I mean, first they started off pretty successfully with Toby Constipation Face McGuire.
Hey, I like Toby McGuire.
Then director Sam Raimi apparently got all hopped up on wine coolers and atomic fireballs and started crapping out some of the worst sequels in history.
Oh, yeah.
Ripe with jazz dance numbers and even more crying poop face from McGuire.
True that.
So they rebooted the same thing, cash grab. With Andrew Garfield, a British actor that only ever seems to play Americans. Even in that British television show, Dr. What, or Inspector Spacetime, or whatever the hell that thing is. And again, they crap out a sequel with too many villains, presumably trying to sell more toys, and everybody just sighs with a collective feh. So, what's the answer, hmm?
I don't know. That was a question.
Star Wars.
Superior Spider-Man.
You might think that's the case, but apparently the answer is to reboot the Spider again, of course. This is the third time in 15 years, for crying out loud.
Oh, boy.
Third reboot in what will have been 6 movies. Barring a little creative accounting, that amounts to an average of 1 reboot per every 2 movies. Don't think about that math too hard. But it checks out.
Get my calculator.
It checks out.
Four, what?
I'd like to point out that with Star Wars, the series put out 6 movies. Plans to put out 3 more along that linear story, okay, with another 3 side stories intermingled, for a total of 12 movies. And the upward potential for more, all without rebooting the franchise even once.
True. That's true.
Maybe.
The only thing that's been rebooted is all the stuff that isn't in the movies, and that's only happened a single time. I wonder how many times the Spider-Man books have been rebooted. I'm just saying.
True. This is Let me count. Hold on.
What
are we talking 616? Are we talking...
Don't get crazy on me here. Try to reel it in for just a second and keep it in your pants.
Focus, Gary.
When I sat down to watch Superman Returns, the oft unlauded installment in the recently rebooted and yet somehow downward spiraling Superman franchise,
I liked it.
I practically choked on my Sour Patch Kids when the classic John Williams theme music started playing over the classically animated opening credit sequence.
Why
was that? Because Bryan Singer was one of the only directors in Hollywood with nods that swung low enough to make a movie that isn't a sequel to the previous film, but also isn't an ideological reboot. Why is this a thing that people can't figure out?
Oh.
It's a question.
Singer
even came back and gave a similar treatment to X-Men Days of Future Past, where he took the new and mixed it with the old, or vice versa, or some such...
He got rid of part 3. That's all that matters.
I don't know. To be perfectly honest, time travel drives Papaw to drink. So,
what doesn't?
That's a good point. I concede. So they're going to do something different with the webhab this time around. Well, Marvel and Sony are saying that this time they're going to have Peter Parker in high school. You know, like in Spider-Man, when Peter Parker was in high school, or in The Amazing Spider-Man, where Peter Parker was in high school.
That's right, yeah.
For crying out loud. They've got a pantheon of Spider-Mans to draw from, and they're just trying to keep dipping Peter Parker in the Fountain of Youth. They just keep going, trying to kill off Uncle Ben and trying to sell us on this new Aunt Em is the sweetest woman on the face of the earth. That last one was just some old bag or empty husk or some such. But why not do something different? People have been begging for black Spider-Man, for girl Spider-Man. I think there was an Asian Spider-Man at some point. Alien Spider-Man.
Whole Spider-Verse, you could say.
There you go. The alien Spider-Man, but this time he doesn't get all weird and rapey. So they want to stay classic. But not movie classic, just comic classic. And only kind of comic classic. You know, the ultimate classic and not the classic classic. So sort of not really classic.
You know, exactly like the last two reboots. But hey, come on.
Oh, shoot me in the
head. It makes sense to start over in some respects, I guess. They can introduce a whole new generation to the Spider-Man experience. After all, my 5-year-old great-nephew has grown old and jaded and doesn't have time for the same silly things he enjoyed when he was 4. I mean, we're talking about a kid who's recently transitioned from Duplos to Lego. He's practically a surgeon. I mean, wow. Where he was enjoying Spider-Man and eating anything he could hastily dig out of his nostrils just a short time ago, now he's graduated to still digging fervently in his nose with his bare fingers, but now he's wiping it on his shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Naturally, his tastes are far more refined, and it's time to introduce his kids that he doesn't have to the franchise he once loved in his younger, wilder, freer years, because he's 5. Sorry, kid, but Hollywood has already used you and tossed you aside.
That's right.
Welcome to the big leagues. Here's your beer and your bucket of sadness. All you've got to look forward to now is sex and hoping they don't reinstate the draft. Well, boys, wow. I got a decanter of whiskey with my name on it, so I'm going to have to bid you good evening. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Papaw.
Shut up.
Bye, Papaw.
See you, Papaw.
Love you.
I wouldn't hear you say that.
The microphone smells like alcohol.
I wondered, is he brewing moonshine again in the basement?
Again?
Grandpa's old cough medicine.
He might just be brewing it in his gut for a while.
Always enlightening to have
them's,
Papaw
them's wise words, though.
Yeah.
He brought up some excellent points, I won't lie.
He did.
I'm not sure how well-placed they were, but hey, it's nice to give him a mouthpiece every now and then. So.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been thrilled to have you along for another episode of Fly Casual. Please make sure to follow us on Twitter at Fly Casual Podcast. Fly Casual 1138. Caught myself. Yes. It counts.
It counts.
It counts.
We'll give it to you.
Fly Casual 1138 on the Twitter. Facebook. You want to follow us on Facebook? And you do.
You do.
Yeah, you do.
Facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast. And, of course, get on your, wherever you collect your MP3 of our show, go out and find us and give us a high rating, give us a thumbs up, give us a good review. Don't be like Papaw and give us a 1-star. That's not kosher.
No.
Unless Papaw, you really
should have known.
Really, really believe, if you are principled that this is the worst podcast you've ever heard, please. Please go to geocities.com/podcast review and give us a horrible scathing review.
I'm going there right now.
Not yet.
Wait.
Oh.
So, yeah, please do that. And what else? Do we have anything else we want to pimp?
Quick shout out to our foreign correspondent, Steve Potter in the UK.
That's right. Steve Potter in the UK. That's a song waiting to be written. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, it's very sing-songy when you put it that way.
And of course, always check out betterkind.com for the show notes.
Absolutely. Go there if you want to know anything more about anything we talked about tonight. Go to betterkind.com, look up the episode, and you'll find some links to some more information and some of the places where we get some of our, quote, facts, end quote.
Yes.
In the meantime, I'm your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. Here's Michael J.
I'm here.
And Garrick Not J.
Bye.
And Howie.
I'm there.
That's right. Gentlemen, we are jelly.